What were you playing, Ron and Brian?
Go to Mexico.
What's that?
Ron and Brian go to Mexico.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 17 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the Jake to my Elwood, Brian. Brian, how are we doing this fine evening?
We're doing fine. I believe you snuck a reference to the Blues Brothers.
I did, because you had mentioned your aversion to the Blues Brothers the other week.
It's not an aversion. It's not that I think it's a bad movie. I don't believe it's as good as it has been remembered.
Okay. What do you feel about Animal House?
A classic.
Okay.
Animal House. I felt that there was more story going on. I like the characters more. But also, I mean, it remarks back to a time when, when I was in college and, I was partaking in, a lot of the fraternity activities on campus. I remember my nickname was Fingers. Obviously I can't tell the origin of that story, but we'll talk off air and
right.
I'm sure you remember. just chasing the sorority girls, hanging out in African American bars, listening to live blues bands, all the fun times,
All right. I have different memories than you, but that's fine.
I remember getting kicked off campus.
You remember the parade through downtown?
There was the parade through downtown. I remember very specifically that at one point we were going to be decertified by the Greek Council unless we had, as a whole unit, our fraternity, we had to pass certain tests that showed different skill sets. I did a floor dance move. There was a math class that we had to do. There was a bunch of gymnastics. One of my fraternity brothers got caught on fire when he jumped through a burning hoop.
The one thing I remember is Scott Kingsley. His middle name was Niedermeyer. And you always kept saying that you wanted Niedermeyer dead.
Yes.
That's all I remember.
I said it often.
But I digress. So, since it is a hot night here on the East Coast, I think we need to get rolling into our very refreshing drink of the week, which this week, the winner finally was the Moscow Mule after losing earlier in the year.
Do you remember who it lost to? I have no idea. I'll be the first to admit.
I don't recall.
I need to start putting together some type of spreadsheet tracking these kind of things. Because I remember I came up with the Moscow Mule, and I lost to something you had put up. And if I find
out... Actually, you
know what? What?
I think that was the French 77
week. If that was the French 77, I will jump on the Amtrak. I'll take the Acela. I don't mind spending the extra dollars. I'll jump down the Acela. I'll take an Uber, and I will show up at your house, and I will strangle you. If I find out that I lost on the Moscow Mule to you and your fucking French 77. What a disgusting abomination. However, the Moscow Mule, I'm going on record, quite refreshing.
It is.
Basically vodka, ginger beer, lime.
Correct. Yes. Very simple and neat.
Simple, refreshing. I could not have asked for a better drink on a night like this. I did find the ginger beer, which I don't know if you did, but I tried it by itself.
I have not done that.
Splendid. Very refreshing. It's like a ginger flavored soda. It was very similar to something I've had before in my lifetime. And it took me several minutes to put my finger on the beverage that it reminded me of. And I was like, oh, wait a second. It reminds me of ginger ale. Regular,
but it's not ginger ale. Ginger is an ale, whereas ginger beer is a beer. I mean, how do ale and beer even compare to each other?
Don't hipster beer me at this moment. I'm going, because you know exactly where I was heading with this, is that ginger beer tasted exactly like ginger ale. Yet, I think I spent about $6.50 for a 4-pack of ginger beer, whereas I can buy a 2-liter of ginger ale for $1.29.
So you think this is just big cocktail trying to shake some money out of you?
I think I've come to the conclusion that I am just absurdly cheap.
Well, there might be that as
like,
well.
Like, I realized...
Yeah, I still had my ginger beer from when I thought the Moscow Mule was going to beat the French 77.
Well, that goes back to speaking to your level of preparation that you put in for the show, where you probably don't go out an hour before we record and and frantically look the ingredients up of the thing. I almost went into my supermarket and bought mint.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't needed?
For either of the two beverages that we were going to
do. I was going to say, I don't think the bee's knees needed it either.
An hour and a half ago, I left my apartment to go look for mint. And while I was walking, I looked up the ingredients to see what else I needed to pick up. And I said to myself, oh, wow, I don't need mint.
I mean, I will say I have gone to places that have garnished the Moscow Mule with some mint. But I think just the lime garnish is good as well.
Are you saying you've ordered a Moscow Mule before?
Oh, yeah. This is not my first Moscow Mule.
Now, is this a reference to the fact that prior to the current administration taking power, you were in contact with Russian authorities and drinking beverages with them?
I'm not able to really comment on that at this time.
Because you did not disclose that during the interview portion that we put you through to see whether you would be my partner on this podcast.
All I know is your fake news.
I think you need to recuse yourself from the rest of this podcast.
Do you really want me to do that?
Absolutely not. I don't. Seriously speaking, between the two of us, how long do you think you could talk by yourself? Like if you had to do like a solo podcast,
right?
How long could you go?
I am a tad bit verbose, so I could probably ramble on for a solid hour.
Okay.
Whether that hour would be entertaining or not.
Totally
is,
different.
Is, yeah.
All right.
How about yourself?
I think I would peter out at about 25 minutes. I think okay. I would start off strong, and then right. eventually I would just start realizing that I don't even care about the topics I'm talking about, and then just give up mid-sentence.
That I can picture. Mm.
Okay, well, that's what I have. That's what I'm bringing to the table, people.
Well, thankfully, we don't have to experience that because it is the Ron and Brian podcast, yeah. And we're going to both plug away equally. Are we ready to roll into This Week in Racism?
Absolutely.
This week in
Racism.
Not as many candidates as last week, but still some horrible people out there.
Well, hold on. Hold on a second.
Yes.
First,
yes.
Let us not skip over the most important part, which is we need to congratulate Missionary Manuel for winning this week's Facebook poll on who was the biggest racist last week.
Yes, Jimmy Taylor knocked off three-time winner Dale Robertson. Not even close.
No, it was a blowout. It was a blowout. It reminded me of the time when I was in my mid-30s and I decided to play a little one-on-one basketball with a fourth grader. I mean, I just slaughtered this kid. I was blocking shots. And what was fortunate was that because he was so short, half the times I was blocking him, it probably should have been considered goaltending. But from his angle, he couldn't see that the ball was already heading down.
Did you knock him down? Did you take some hard fouls, set some picks?
Slammed him down. Kid had scraped knees, was crying, sent him home. I even stole his basketball.
You know, they got to learn when they're younger that life is tough sometimes.
Sometimes. Try every day.
So here are some of the candidates we considered to go up against Jimmy this week. We have a Texas Wesleyan offensive coordinator, Kyle Cox, who was suspended for posting racist and homophobic tweets. He made the mistake of tweeting that he had unfollowed three recruits due to their Twitter feed. And then the internet does what it does so well, unearthed all of his history. So he remains suspended from the team. This would have been his first year, so we'll see if he keeps his job. Are you familiar with Top Chef host Tom Colicchio?
No. Who is he?
He is apparently the host of Top Chef.
Okay. You know what? You could have... you're such a son of a bitch. I swear to God. Yes. I swear you didn't need to go there. You didn't need to... What does he look like? Hold on.
He's a bald guy.
Have I seen him before is really what I'm asking you. And it's
very possible.
But, Ron, that's not a question I should be asking you. It's really a question I need to be – I need to look inside myself, feel my innards, and say, do I know Don Colicchio?
So anyway, I don't know
Tom Colicchio.
All right. Well, his home was vandalized by pro-Trump racists that drew anti-Semitic graffiti and a defaced Jewish star. His wife is Jewish, so he feels that was partly geared towards her.
Hold on. They drew a defaced Jewish star, or they drew a Jewish star? I said Jewish. It's like I just watched Spaceballs. They drew a Jewish star on his home, or they drew a defaced Jewish star? Because defaced Jewish star is even worse, because that means they drew the Jewish star and then went back and defaced it, which really is way more insulting.
They drew a Jewish star on his sidewalk and defaced it.
Ah, that's terrible. How did they deface it?
I don't know. I didn't really look at the pictures.
Damn it.
I know. I'm letting you down. Then we have the 323 Restaurant and Bar in Westport, Connecticut, who has a drink on their menu called the Tuskegee Experiment, which for those of you that don't know the Tuskegee Experiment, Brian, you know this one, don't you? Being the history buff that you are.
Well, the Tuskegee Experiment, if I am not correct, took place in the late 40s through probably the mid 50s. And the experiment here was what they did was they would take a frog and put the frog in a pot with some water. And what they did was they wanted to see at what temperature, you know, if they slowly increase the heat under the pot, at what temperature would the frog realize that it was being boiled and cooked? And what they what they finally came to the conclusion after, I would say, at least a decade was that if you turned the heat up at a rate of 2 degrees per half hour, the frog would never realize what was going on and you would have boiled frog's legs.
All right, you may have that confused with something else. Actually, the Tuskegee Experiment was a secret U.S. Health Services experiment where they were examining untreated syphilis in a group of black sharecroppers for 6 to 9 months without the knowledge of the people participating.
You know what, Ron? I will admit I was wrong. That was the Tuskegee Experiment. I do recall that now.
Takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
No, I was wrong on that.
We have Kansas City security guard Mike Dargy. He went into a bar and ordered a Trayvon martini, which he described as, quote, one shot of vodka and watermelon juice, and you only need one shot because it just takes one shot to put him down.
Jesus Christ. He
said this to an African-American bartender as well. So Dargy was put on administrative leave and then later fired.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Out in Indianapolis, we have Jaquan Dean, who was working on his car in the parking lot of his apartment complex and was arrested for loitering. So the local police department's still looking into that complaint. We have YouTube beauty guru Laura Lee, who has lost all of her business partnerships along with 400,000 subscribers after a string of racist tweets from 2012 resurfaced.
How do I become a YouTube personality? I've seen a lot of references to people that I've never heard of. There was a McSkillet this week, a McSkillet on YouTube who, God help the youth of today, that they have made somebody who goes by the name McSkillet on YouTube. And if I'm not correct, a lot of these people are just watching other people playing video games. But he decided that his time on this planet was done. And the way he wanted to go out was by driving the wrong way on a highway and took out a mother and her daughter when he crashed head on into her SUV.
That is correct.
So there's an opening. There's an opening up for YouTube personalities, apparently. And Brian is coming into the picture.
Woo. And apparently you could be a beauty guru.
Yeah, I just have to go back and clean out some of my old tweets.
Yes.
Which I still say, we should actually look at my old tweets and see, you know, if there's anything there that needs an apology. I would be hard pressed to find any.
All right, we'll have to go through that and see.
That's something we should look into.
But our candidate this week is Buford, Georgia school superintendent Guy Hamby. which he spells it G-E-Y-E. I'm still not 100% sure why, but apparently it's Guy Hamby.
Don't you mean Guy Hamby?
Yay. So there was a racial discrimination lawsuit filed against the school district, and the woman that filed the lawsuit, apparently her lawyer managed to get some recordings of him repeatedly using the N-word on some phone conversations. So now the quality of this is not great, but so you got to listen a little closely, but it's just some really horrible stuff this guy said.
You're going to charge us for a regular basis. Can you get me a show me on our general conditions how many of these damn big niggers he has played? Well, goddamn, they said they're from a temp service. So I guess have you got more big niggers than the ones from a temp service?
Some was inside there working.
No, those laying the papers aren't the same month.
That's a totally different. That's a contract.
They got deadbeat niggers that said that. And Philip went over there and motherfuckers were sitting there on the cell phone. And he went over there and they sitting there and his mom got smart with him after he asked him what he was.
They was waiting on the phone.
And he said he worked for the temp service. And he didn't have to do what the fuck we tend to do. Fuck that nigga. I'd kill his goddamn shoot that motherfucker if they let me. Alright, well. Check out what's going on with all the niggers down here. Thank you.
Bye.
How far
the issue is
that?
With a fucking attitude.
And then they had a damn attitude when they were supposed to. They told them, get off the job site, but check it out for me. Hell, and I ain't even that time to talk to Dennis about it. Because Philip and Dennis already talked about it. And I know Philip told two of the niggers to get off the damn job site.
I told them.
So, Brian, when I hear an accent like that, my automatic odds-on bet is that that's an individual that's used the N-word a few times in their life.
Well, we just heard him use it multiple times. So,
I mean, I'm just saying, even before we got to that point, I hear the twang, and I'm like, yes, this is a man who knows how to drop some racism.
All right, now let's see how racist this guy is. You tell me, okay. All right? I'm going to ask a series of questions. You tell me. How many cars does he have on his front lawn?
He has, I believe, three.
How many Confederate flags does he have hanging outside his house? And this is a two-part question. How many does he have up on interior walls of his house?
None outside the house to keep up appearances. But one in every room of the house inside.
Understood. How many crosses does he have built in his barn to be used later during one of his community meetings?
I believe he is at six right now.
Okay. And the last question is, how many African-American friends does he have?
He has the obligatory one African-American friend.
Okay, this guy's racist.
All right.
All right.
So he has since resigned his position. This is also apparently entangling Philip Beard, who is the school board chair and city commissioner. He is apparently one of the people that was present during these phone calls and is now being investigated because, obviously, if you've got a school superintendent dropping the N-word like that in front of you, you should do something about it. But obviously, Mr. Beard did not, so now he may be on the hook as well.
Well, it seems as if his issue was not just the fact that they were African-Americans that were working in his department, but also the fact that they were from a temp agency. You know, it wasn't just the fact that they were that you know, what ethnicity they were. I mean, he was going after them because, you know, he felt there were too many working for him and that they were all from temp agencies, and he questioned their work ethic, which... just Inexcusable. Inexcusable.
Apparently, the black people that work for the Parks Department were fine by him. It was, yes, the temps that he really got upset over.
Well.
But he is now unemployed, and he will be going up against Jimmy Taylor in This Week in Racism. Our poll will be up on Facebook shortly. I mean, I feel Guy's good competition, but I think Jimmy's got some legs. I really feel like Jimmy can run the table and earn himself a number one seed in our year-end Racism Madness tournament.
The thing about Jimmy is this, is A, audio quality. And this is something I know you and I have taken a lot of heat on social media for, is that we prioritize videos and audios over allegations and written stories and whatnot. But where, Missionary Maury comes in and says, he's just coming in with stellar quality audio. He's not he's outside of his own country talking to people as if they are his servants. He also brings religion into the mix. So it's not even just, I think the Missionary Manuel here is, I think he is clearly top four. You know,
okay.
I don't want to sway anybody's votes. You know, if the public does not believe that that Missionary Markey has the ability, that he's got the legs to go, to hit the 4 week maximum, I think this guy has the ability to possibly take it all.
So far you've called him Missionary Manuel, Missionary Markey, and Missionary Maury. Is there a particular one you want to stick with, or are you just gonna roll with it?
Ronnie, baby, I'm going with Missionary Position.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, later this year, we will have our Bracketology special, so you'll be able to hear how we're going to rank all of our races for the year-end competition. So
yeah, I've
that's
got some...
what we call a little teaser.
I have some ideas how we're going to do that.
All right.
We'll discuss them off air. Absolutely.
Yeah, not right now. Okay. Before we hop off of This Week in Racism, there was an economist survey of 1,500 adults. So, Brian,
yes.
Do you feel that it is possible that someone who uses the N-word in office can still be a good president?
No.
Okay. Then you will find that 64% of Republicans don't agree with you. According to this poll, 64% of Republicans feel that it is possible for someone who uses the N-word in office to still be a good president. 8% of Republicans polled feel that Donald Trump definitely has used the word while in office, while 23% feel he probably has. Of those polled, 73% of Democrats find the N-word offensive, compared to only 43% of Republicans.
Okay.
And in other news, water is wet. And bear shit in the woods.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I don't think there's really anything in that survey that really should shock anybody.
The issue is this, and this is where I think it's important, is the fact that I forgot the congressman, the state congressman from Georgia who brought it up. But his, the argument he made, which was that as president, he didn't believe Donald Trump had used it, and that was more important.
That was Michael Williams.
There you go.
Whose audio we played last week.
I do believe that once you become president, you are president of all Americans, and you need to take that into consideration with the decisions you're making. I just forgot the word. I literally am a numbskull. But in Congress, you have the group of people that you're representing. What's that word for it? Come on,
your,
Ron.
Your constituents.
Thank you, Ron. This is why I have you here for me. But your constituents are the people that live in your district. When you're a senator, your constituents are the people that live in your state. When you're president, your constituents are all Americans. And I think you need to be... you may not need to please, you're not going to be able to please all of them, but you have to understand that you represent all of them. And that's why I think it is literal horseshit for anyone to sit there and say that it's okay to have a president that uses the N-word.
Agreed. Not by 64% of Republicans, but again, I don't think that should surprise many people out there.
No, not at all.
Speaking of votes, we did have a third very special poll on our Facebook page this past week as to whether we were going to keep the beef of the week or not. And much to my dismay, yes, carry the day. That rhymed right there.
Yeah. Well, shouldn't we be listening to something right now?
I just need to take a moment to let it sink in.
Okay.
I'd come to hate my creation, but at the very least, it allows me to play this.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
So at the very least, the $5 I spent on that music bed does not go wasted, and I can continue to use that. Brian, you're up, sir. What is your beef of the week?
My beef of the week are service fees.
Okay. Anything in particular?
Oh, well, something happened to me this week that really, really pissed me off.
And what is that?
I sold two tickets on StubHub and did not realize that StubHub charges a flat 10% fee for the service that they provide, which is linking ticket sellers with ticket buyers.
Okay.
So that now, if you sell a $5 ticket to see the New York Mets, your fee is 50 cents. If you sell a $1,100 ticket to go see Bruce Springsteen, your fee is $110. StubHub is providing the exact same service here. They are not doing anything more for your Bruce Springsteen ticket sale than they are for your New York Mets sale. They're taking a flat 10%. And I'm not, I do believe that it should be, there should be a flat fee that they charge, and that's what they should charge. Ticketmaster charges service fees. You find out that there's a sporting event, a basketball game, a football game, and you say to yourself, "Oh, I'm gonna, you know, take my family. How much are tickets?" And you find out, "Oh, I'll sit in this section for $50." And then you go on Ticketmaster, you click process. Four tickets at $50 should be $200, and it comes out to $285. Why? Because Ticketmaster charges their service fees, their convenience charges. They just fuck you. And that's my beef of the week, is the fact that these service fees are a tax on the American public that is staying out of our economy. It's staying out of our spending power, and it's being glommed on and sucked out by the corporations. Fuck StubHub.
Now, my only question to you is, you said that you weren't aware of the service fee before you sold your tickets?
I knew there was going to be some service fee. I mean, let's be honest here. It's not like I woke up yesterday. I mean, I knew there was going to be some service fee. I was shocked that StubHub just whopped me for about $220 bucks just because I decided to sell some tickets.
Because the site literally will tell you when you plug in what you want to sell the ticket for, what you'll keep at the end of it. I mean, I'm not defending StubHub, but I'm just saying.
You're okay. All right, Mr. Perfect, Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Go Fuck Yourself. You obviously read the fine print. I bet when you open up iTunes, you click on the terms and conditions and you read all 88 pages of it. I believe you're probably the kind of person that when you buy a product, you read the entire manual that comes along with it before you plug in your blender. You know what? Some of us are a little bit, you know, more pressed for time, and we just power through those little click here and agree there.
I understand, and I'm sorry for questioning you. My beef of the week, besides the fact that it still exists,
yes,
I gotta go with the goddamn humidity.
All right.
Like, it's just, it's almost Labor Day weekend, and it is literally hot as balls again. Like, if there is anyone out there that does not believe in climate change, I don't remember summers being as oppressive as this.
If I can tag on something.
You may.
What do you know the difference between humidity and dew point?
Humidity and dew point.
Yes, and while you're thinking of an answer, I will explain to you the origins of this. I was watching the weather this morning on the news, And okay. the woman, the female meteorologist, was talking about the dew point today being in the mid-70s. And I sat there and just said, okay, I don't know what the dew point is. But and then she said that the dew point is the amount of water that's in the air. So it'll tell you exactly just kind of, you know, how I forgot the adjective she used, but it was just like, you know, how swampy the air is going to be. I always thought that's what the humidity was. The humidity is a percentage.
I thought humidity was the percentage of moisture in the air.
That's what I thought. You know what?
And then that the dew point was the temperature combined with the existing humidity that would create dew.
All right. Here's your answer. The All right. dew point is the temperature. Oh, this is according to Wikipedia. If you believe that the Russian bots that have taken over the internet, fucking up all access that we have to actual truth. This is what the Russians have to say. The dew point is the temperature to which air must be cooled to become saturated with water vapor.
Okay. And humidity?
I didn't... Listen, I can only type one thing at a time. The humidity is 91% here in New York City right now. The humidity is a term used to describe the amount of water vapor present in the air.
Okay.
The way I see it is they're like first cousins that kind of fuck only during family reunions. Like they don't fuck each other like during the year. But like those couple times when it's like grandma's birthday or you're celebrating Grammy and Grandpa's like anniversary, you kind of get a little loaded and you bang your first cousin and you just don't talk about it the rest of the year. That's where I put dew point and humidity in the same boat.
Well, perhaps you should do your own update on Wikipedia for that.
To me, dew point and humidity are the West Virginia of the weather statistics.
Well, all right then.
All right. And if you live in West Virginia and you don't appreciate what I just said, reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our website, wherever you want. Defend yourself. Declare the fact that you've never had sex with a first cousin.
So obviously, the biggest story this week was the passing of Arizona Senator John McCain, who had suffered from brain cancer for I want to say it was about a year and a half he was receiving treatment for it. He had outlived many expectations, but they made notice on like Wednesday or Thursday that he was discontinuing treatment, and it was just a couple days later that he passed away.
Yes, we last week, if I'm not correct, we knew he was on our radar, but it was a little too soon. John McCain, the senator from Arizona, he was a two-time contender for the presidency, mm-hmm. Lost both times. The second time was what I felt was such a bad effort with Sarah Palin as his vice president that it actually detracted from his legacy. He had a malignant brain tumor, and you know, after serving the great people of Arizona, after serving the Hanoi Hotel for 5.5 years, if I'm not correct, John McCain, an American hero who has just been deified over the past week, everywhere except with the one exception of the White House, where
and the Fox News comment boards.
Oh well, I think you and I have. I think we've been open enough to admit that that's not a that's not a sector of society that we want to pay any attention to.
True.
But I did read that that one of the great areas of respect that Donald Trump showed him was by first off refusing to lower the American flags at the White House. Then, after there was a backlash, agreed to lower them to half-mast, then raising them about 8 hours later, hoping nobody would notice, before getting flack again, and then agreeing to lower them and making a public going on record saying that he respected John McCain.
Right. And this is, you know, obviously he had issue with McCain for a while. There was a situation just a couple of weeks ago where there was a bill that had been named after John McCain that had been passed. And when Trump spoke of the bill. He only referred to the name of the bill, never mentioned John McCain once, even though he was a huge proponent of the bill. And yeah, obviously, you know, Trump treated him like shit. Trump likes to wrap himself in the flag. He likes to pander to the veterans and say how, you know, how much he respects veterans and things like that. And yet you have a man who was a veteran, spent, like you said, 5.5 years in a Vietnamese POW camp, was in solitary confinement for 2 years. And also, when his captors found out that he was the son of an admiral, they were going to release him early. Typically, the way it went with POW camps is first captured, first released. They were actually going to release McCain early when they found out he was the son of the admiral. And he actually refused to do that because he didn't feel it was right to take advantage of that, keeping himself longer in that situation.
And he is being judged by a man who got 4 deferments during the Vietnam War because of bad ankles
or got some bone spurs.
Bone spurs, who got deferments and then had the fucking balls, excuse my language, but it's just so outrageous, had the fucking balls to go out to be quoted in public on videotape saying that he doesn't respect anybody, he doesn't consider anybody a hero who gets captured. He likes his heroes who don't get captured.
He also likes his porn stars who stay quiet, but that's neither here nor there, I suppose.
Allegedly, we don't know that for a fact.
So I will say there is a lot of mixed emotions about John McCain. You know, while there was a number of things that he did that were positive, you know, there was also many votes, many stances he took that people took issue with. I was just kind of thumbing through. I mean, obviously, he was a big proponent of the Gulf War. What else do we have here?
Well, wait a second. You mean the first Gulf War?
No, whichever one George Bush. Not the first Gulf, the second Gulf War.
Okay, well, that was based on, I was a proponent of it at the time, but that was also because I thought that Saddam Hussein, it was just a given, had weapons of mass destruction. You know, I think a lot of us, when I say us, meaning the American people, I believe we were lied to about the evidence that was used to rationalize the war. And at the time, we're in complete agreement that Saddam Hussein was a danger to the world and needed to be removed from power. Had we known that the evidence was falsified, I don't think that we would have supported it. So I don't think you can hold that against McCain. I think
I'm not saying I'm holding it against him. I'm saying that there are people out there that, you know, referring to him as a war hawk because of it. You know, he voted for the war in Afghanistan. You know, he said in 2000 that he would, quote, hate the gooks as long as he lives. He gave away holy Apache land to miners in a last-minute addition to a defense spending bill. What else?
Hey, the guy wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. So I don't think it's one of the things that I think we do wrong in this society is the fact that when people die, we turn them into saints. That every, you know, once you die, you just become this great person, and it's considered poor taste to speak ill of them, to point out, you know, where their failures were and whatnot. He was no different than, why did my voice just go up like 8 octaves, like I was going through puberty again? John McCain was no different than anyone else. I mean, clearly he was in the public eye. There were a lot of things, you know, a lot of his beliefs that I can never wrangle myself into agreeing with. But I will say that, you know, the thing that stood out for me was the fact that he was a decent, he carried himself like a decent human being. You know, I think that, you know, during the second campaign he ran for presidency, when he was giving some speech, and a woman in the audience sat there and started accusing Barack Obama of being an Arab, and that's why he's a terrible human being. I mean, McCain stopped her and said, no, he's not. He's not an Arab. He's a Christian. And besides that, he is actually a decent human being who McCain admitted, I just happened to disagree fundamentally on certain things with. McCain harkened back to that age when you could like someone and respect someone and yet still disagree with them. And that is something that is no longer a value that we see in our leaders.
Well, and I think the other thing he was able to do also is he was able to look back at some of his decisions in time, and he was a man able to admit his mistakes. Mm. You know, they played some video of him with Jake Tapper. And you know, and it's kind of eerie now when you think back of it. I mean, Jake Tapper was basically talking to a man who knew he was dying, knew his time on Earth was limited, and said, you know, how do you want people to remember you? And he wanted people to remember him as someone that served his country, that he wasn't always right. He was human. You know, he made mistakes. But at the end of the day, he tried to serve as honorably as possible. So he is going to Lyon State, at the Capitol on Friday, which is an honor that's only been granted to 30 public figures in U.S. history. And then looking at some of the pallbearers for the service on Saturday, you've got Warren Beatty, Joe Biden, Michael Bloomberg, Russ Feingold, Gary Hart, former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge.
And Paul Bearer from the WWE. Paul Bearer is going to be one of the pallbearers. What a coincidence.
He's not actually alive, so.
Really?
You didn't realize
no,
Paul Bearer, William Moody?
No.
Oh. Anyway, so two of the people that he did ask to speak at his funeral were the two men that defeated him when he ran for president, George W. Bush and former President Obama. Senator Lindsey Graham will also make some statements. Joseph Lieberman, Kelly Ayotte, and this is an interesting one, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger.
Really?
Yes. Which there is a man many people dislike. There is a war hawk right there, Henry Kissinger.
Oh, yeah. That guy. I've read a bunch of books about that guy. He was fucking crazy. Like, he really just wanted a war and was willing to cover up every aspect of it.
So,
like, when McCain was stuck in solitary confinement being tortured, Henry Kissinger was sitting in the White House trying to figure out ways that we could expand the war past Vietnam into Cambodia. I mean, that dude's a sick fuck. He's still around, right?
Well, if he's speaking at the memorial, I'm going to say yes, he's still alive.
Sorry, Ron. Sometimes I get a little carried away, and that's why I need you to just rein me in.
I'm going to go on a limb there.
Okay.
So I guess the other big story this week was kind of the back and forth over the death of Molly Tibbetts, which the right is using as a call for a change in immigration laws. President Trump is trying to use it to justify his separation of illegal immigrants from their children at the border. All in the meantime, the family asking people not to politicize her death.
Well, if we can back up just so our listeners who may not be as woke as you, Ron, some of them may not know who Molly Tibbetts is. Okay. She was a University of Iowa student who was jogging on her family's farmland when she went missing. And if there's anything that the American media love, is a endangered white girl. And so when white girls go missing in this country, they literally shoot up to literally the second or third story on the news, on your 6:30 national news. Well, so Molly Tibbetts goes missing, and the police were able to use security footage from her parents' farm, from some of the neighboring plots of land, and were able to find that she was being followed during her jog by a farm worker who had worked on her family's farm, who during questioning by police admitted to the fact that he was working on the farm. He saw her running, decided to, catcall her. Catcalling led to a little bit more, at which point he blacks out miraculously. No idea what happens at that point. When he comes to, she's dead.
And he's able to point out where the body was.
Of course. No, he remembers where the body is. He doesn't remember killing her. He remembers her finding seeing her body. And here's the thing, and this is the real pisser of it all. He's here illegally.
So they say. So everyone keeps saying he's here illegally, but he did pass the e-verify system check for the farm that he worked at.
Using fake paperwork, no?
And his we're not sure. His lawyer is claiming that he's not here illegally, but has not provided proof.
I think in the court of public opinion, he is here illegally, which is really all that, you know, we really care about, because now we've got a pretty American co-ed who is murdered by an illegal immigrant during the Trump administration, and there is no way that we're going to let this one slide without using it for our political benefit. So let's maximize all publicity on this case to justify separating children from their families at the border.
Right. And here's what I don't get about this logic. Like, everyone's saying, oh, we didn't allow immigrants into this country, you know, this would have never happened. Like, okay, let's go with that train of thought. So if we had tighter gun control laws and better took care of mental health issues in this country, you know, maybe that kid doesn't shoot up the Madden tournament down in Florida last week.
Hold on, Ron. There's a difference, and this is where I think if I can answer your question, which I think is
Okay. I mean, it's a very sarcastic question, but
if
I will take your answer.
If you look into our Constitution, basically the founding document of this country after the Declaration of Independence, the thing that forms the government, it does not say that we have the right to illegal immigrants. It says we have the right to bear arms. So the founding fathers said that it was important. I mean, the founding fathers, they were, you know, not in favor of illegal immigration. I mean, they turned their backs on people being, you know, entering the country from, you know, other continents, in some cases against their will through the form of slavery. I mean, none of the founding fathers had slaves whatsoever. So they were completely against, you know, illegal immigration, but they were in favor of the average Joe Americano having arms, guns. So therefore, I think that's where you're seeing the fork in the road, why we are treating the illegal immigrant as this needs to change, whereas the mentally ill kid who decides he's going to go on a killing rampage because he lost a game of Madden 19, they're just so completely different. I don't understand how you would even confuse the two to the point where you would compare the two. You know, the Constitution doesn't say anything about illegal immigrants. I think that's where you see things incorrectly.
Fair enough. Is it because this country was founded by technically illegal immigrants?
What?
It's my hot take of the week.
Oh, hold on a second. Let's hear this.
No, I'm just making a flippant statement, really. But
my God, are you kidding me? This country was the entire economy of the South. And keep in mind, before the South broke off from the North, the economy of the South was way better than the economy of the North. And why was it so much better? It was because they were using labor, which consisted of people that were being stolen from other continents, sold by people in other continents and brought here against their will. I mean, the definition of immigrants right there. But let's not talk about that. I don't want to talk.
Let's not.
Why would you want to talk about that?
I don't know. I just find, as always, I mean, I guess the hypocrisy should not surprise me at this point.
And yet it does.
It still infuriates me at times.
Always.
As many people have commented, illegal immigrants still commit crimes at a lower rate than all of the members of the Trump administration.
Fake news. And I you know, I was going to say we should talk about that kid who shot up the video game tournament. I don't want to talk about him. I don't believe that we should give any type of publicity. We shouldn't acknowledge these people. We shouldn't use their names. We should just, piece of shit. I believe he had a mental illness that we as a society failed to treat. Fuck his parents for not taking care of him. Fuck him for not being able to get enough help. And my heart goes out to the people that were affected by it. But I don't want to give him any more publicity than he already has.
I mean, what about a man who may have shot at women drivers because he feels only men should be allowed to get behind the wheel?
Now you're talking. Are you telling me that there's somebody out there who, first off, you mentioned the word Texas. Right off the bat, I just went from 6 to midnight. Now you're telling me that he's shooting at women specifically because he doesn't believe they should drive?
Apparently, Katy, Texas resident Nicholas D'Agostino, 29, has been hit with charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in two recent separate incidents in which he allegedly shot women drivers.
Well, I don't even know how to approach this one.
And he is apparently now, he's confessed to shooting as many as 5 women drivers in the area, and that he specifically targets women because he doesn't believe they should be permitted to drive.
Hold on a second. I'm going to throw something out here. You tell me if there's any logic here.
All right.
Is it possible? Now, keep in mind, you know, I know you watched Making a Murderer on Netflix, so we know that there are confessions to crimes made in front of police officers that are made under duress.
Sure.
That people are pushed to confess to crimes that they did not commit. Is it possible that my main man, Nicholas D'Agostino, was taking target practice? You know, his God-given right in Texas to carry a gun, take target practice, but these women were such bad drivers that they kept driving in the way of where he was shooting.
It's possible. I think what works against him is the fact that he's made a number of Facebook posts in which he reportedly rants and rambles on about female motorists and how incompetent they are, and that their sole purpose is to give birth to male children.
Okay,
that, I feel, is going to work against him.
I agree with you.
He is, he has pled not guilty, and he is claiming that he shot the 2 women in self-defense.
But he admitted that he shot 5 people.
Right.
Oh, so he confessed to the police, then he gets with a lawyer who files his plea. Got it. Yeah, this guy is, you know, there are, I will say this, as a Northeastern Jew, I'm going to say there are some states in this union that I would probably be comfortable never going to.
Would Texas be one of those?
Texas is one of them, with the exception of Dealey Plaza in Dallas.
Okay. Why is that?
That's where Lee Harvey Oswald is alleged to have shot JFK.
All right. I hear Austin is very nice, though.
Austin, I think, has already been overtaken by hipsters. Austin was probably nice maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
But now it's a bunch of skinny jeans, bad mustaches, and craft beers.
And then one of the other big stories this week, the Pope visited Ireland.
Oh, if there's not a more Roman Catholic country than Ireland, I would say that Pope Francis, I believe is his name, for him to, you know, with everything going on in the Roman Church right now, Roman Catholic Church, excuse me, I think that a trip to Ireland now, I mean, he's really speaking to the faithful. He's really speaking to his core constituency, like the way I brought that word back from earlier. Thank you to you, Ron. But, you know, it's not as if he went to a country where people would turn their back on him. I mean, he's going to Ireland. I mean, this is, you know, as Catholic as we get. Ron, I didn't mean to interrupt you. How did that trip go?
I mean, you know, I would imagine that the crowds that would have come to see him had to be huge. I mean, do you have the numbers as to how many people came out to see him in Ireland?
130,000 showed up during his speech in Phoenix Park. I mean, that's pretty good, right? I mean, well, hold on a second. It says
here that... Do you have anything to compare that to?
Well, yeah. I mean, right off the bat, it says that 500,000 tickets were picked up by people, but only 130,000 showed up. So that's not so great. That's like a third. Like, for every ticket they issued, only a third of the people showed up. I mean, that's not that great. Do you want me to dig a little deeper?
I mean, I like the way you dig.
Okay, well, I'll dig a little deeper. And oh, wait a second. It says here that when Pope John Paul II went there, he spoke to about 1.2 million people in Phoenix Park. So You're saying that Pope Francis spoke to 1/10 of the people that Pope John Paul did?
That's about the numbers I'm coming up with.
So what you're saying is that maybe this wasn't the right time for him to send a message to the world that the Roman Catholic Church is representing the people.
I would say so. I mean, we do have a little bit of an issue here in Pennsylvania with a grand jury that had convened for, 23 months and found, 351 predator priests in their investigation. Now, here is the amazing thing. Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General for the state of Pennsylvania, was on the Today Show this morning speaking about, this case. And, part of the reason they put this out, there are a number of these cases that will never be prosecuted because they're past the statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons is that they release this information is to hopefully get people that are out there that may also be victims to start calling in and seeing if there are cases that they can prosecute. And in the 2 weeks that they have had a hotline open for people to call in, they've gotten 771 complaints so far,
Jesus.
All of which will be investigated. The other thing that blows my mind is the reason that there was so much evidence for the grand jury to go through is because of canon law in the church. If there was a complaint about a priest, or if they had to interview a priest and a priest confessed to raping or molesting a young boy, they literally wrote that down and held on to that document.
Mm-hmm.
And then when computers came around, they would put them on hard drives after that. But the grand jury literally had access to thousands of documents documenting rapes and molestation of children by priests in the state of Pennsylvania. And all that would happen is they'd just be transferred around, and every possible thing was done to thwart any of this information going towards law enforcement.
Let me ask you.
There's even evidence that the Vatican was aware of what was going on in the state of Pennsylvania.
Ron, is there any doubt that the Vatican is aware of the sex abuse issues that church has had for centuries at this point? The evidence, unless you literally are willing to dig your head in the sand like an ostrich, the evidence is overwhelming that there is a history in the Catholic Church, and we're going after the Catholic Church. I know there have been issues in the Orthodox Jewish community of sexual abuse and whatnot, but whenever you have any type of power dynamic where you've got a figure, a human being, then these people are human beings. They're just simply because they put the collar on does not mean that they don't have the same failures that humanity has. But when you put a human being in a authoritative role without any type of checks or balance, you're going to have issues.
Right.
And in the Catholic Church, and it's become the hip issue for the past 10 plus maybe 15 years of these investigations and terrible fucking things that took place. I mean, just awful stories. To me, it warrants shutting down the Catholic Church. That's my opinion. It may sound radical, but I don't understand someone who can look past the organized ignoring of sexual abuse. How you can sit there and hear a story about how Father Ryan was taking little Timmy into his back room and raping him, and sit there and go to Father Ryan, we're just going to have to send you to a different church now. Just don't do that when you go there, and not tell anybody in that other church. So Father Ryan's getting put in the same position where he's access to little children, where he's going to fuck them again. I don't know how you can sit there and still justify this institution staying in business.
I would agree with you on that. I mean, at the very least, there needs to be a radical change in the way that the Catholic Church is run.
And it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But I guarantee you, I mean, there are even, you know, cardinals in the United States calling on Pope Francis to resign because of what's going on in Pennsylvania right now.
Well,
and I'm sure that probably tied into why, you know, he didn't get the reception, a number of people coming out in Ireland. People are getting sick and tired of it.
Very poor timing. But there was a document that was released right before he went to Ireland from a Vatican insider that alleged that that Pope Francis was aware of the sexual abuse that was going on and facilitated ignoring it. Now, I'm not saying that it's actually true. I don't know anything about it. I'm just saying that that suddenly he's been touched by this scandal. It's gotten to it now has touched the level of the Pope.
Right. It's reached the highest level in the church. So it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, happens. Moving forward, I guess the other big thing is Louis C.K. came back to the stage last night, did a surprise 15-minute set at New York's famed Comedy Cellar. Brian, have you ever been to the Comedy Cellar?
Multiple times.
All right.
Good. Overrated. Overrated, really? In my opinion. It's it is a room that is rectangular in shape, so that there are many seats in that venue with very poor sight lines. The one thing I will say about the Comedy Cellar is that it is a beacon for high caliber comedy. So in that sense, it's not overrated.
Where,
in the way of if you go there, you're going to see some of the best that New York has to offer. The problem is the fact that if you don't get there early, you are likely going to be seated in an area where you are not going to be able to sit comfortably and watch the stage. You may be seated facing away from the stage. You may be seated at a 90-degree angle from the stage, so you have to turn your head for the entire two-hour show. But the Cellar is a... it's ground zero for New York comedy. Have you ever been there?
I have not. No.
Next time you're in New York, if with the wife, by yourself, whatnot, let me know. I will make reservations. You will be my guest.
There we go. So apparently Louis C.K. showed up, did a surprise set. No one was aware that he was coming. No one was aware that they were going to have to, you know, be subject to him, which, as many people have commented, was his problem in the first place. During his takedown during the Me Too movement. Michael Ian Black tweeted today that he was happy to see that Louis C.K. was back. And then Twitter, the hounds, just set on Michael Ian Black after that.
Well, the mistake he made is that he jumped in front of Louis C.K. and took the bullet for the anger of people who felt that that Louis C.K. should not be doing comedy anymore.
Right.
What Michael Ian Black basically tweeted something saying, hey, you know, it's crazy times we live in. We need to, publicize the issues that are going on in the Me Too world. We need to publicize the sexual harassment, the sexual assault. But at the same time, we need to figure out a way where some of these people, meaning the harassers, can have a road to redemption, can appropriately apologize, can serve their sentence to society, and can come back. Whereas I think had he been a little smarter and maybe run it by his agent, they would have said to him, Michael Ian, this isn't your fight right now. Shut the fuck up. Take a step back and wait to see how everything lays out. Then you can speak up.
Right. I mean, we've kind of talked to this before, is how does an individual, like a Louis C.K., like a Kevin Spacey, how does someone like that, come back? How do they serve their time? What kind of penance do they need to do? Clearly, whatever Louis C.K. has done is not enough for the general population, which, I mean, I would somewhat agree with. I mean, while he admitted to what he had done, I don't know that he really gave a heartfelt apology. We have no idea what he's been up to, whether he's been receiving treatment or whether he's just been laying low, sitting around in his apartment doing nothing.
Well, hold on. I'm going to cut you off here.
Are you?
Oh yeah, I'm going to cut you off. I'm 50% of this podcast. You put more than 50% of the work in, but that's neither here nor there. What I will say is this: is the fact that Louis C.K. got taken down in the Me Too movement. He should have been. To lump him into the same boat as Harvey Weinstein is doing a disservice to Louis C.K.
Well, and I didn't say Harvey Weinstein.
What I'm saying is the fact that there was a rightfully so backlash against men that use their power position in the entertainment world and in any type of environment where they use their power position to for sexual benefit over women who did not feel that they were in a position to say no. However, there was the penalty for being Me Too'd, as it became a verb, the penalty for being Me Too'd was that you were automatically just banished and immediately tossed to the side. There was never any type of discussion at the time of, well, you know, Aziz Ansari, I know he's another comedian, but here's a guy who got Me Too'd. And what happened was he had gone on a couple dates with this woman who felt that he sexually harassed her and ignored her physical cues of disinterest in sexual activity and continued to push it forward to the point where he was putting her hand in his crotch. I think he exposed himself. The point being is the fact that in a very short period of time, everybody got lumped into the same bowl, and there was never any discussion as to the severity of the actions that the different people had taken. Matt Lauer on NBC, he's another guy who's already talking about making his comeback. If I remember correctly, he said inappropriate things and was buying sex toys and had them around the office.
Don't forget he also had that little button on his desk that would lock the door of his office.
Ron, I've got one right now. Don't we all have one of those?
Okay. All right.
You know what? My point is just the fact that there was never any discussion in the punishment fitting the crime. No matter what you did, the crime was the same. No matter what you did, the punishment was the same. And clearly, people who are artists, who are in the public eye, are to a certain extent narcissists, and they're not going to be okay not being in the public eye. So Louis C.K., because nobody has said to him, you can't do comedy for X period of time, has decided on his own, I'm going back and I'm going to test the waters and see what the reaction is for me to do stand-up comedy. Now, if I was sitting in the audience and Louis C.K. came in to do comedy, would I be, would I like to know? Yeah, he's a funny comedian. If I was a woman who was going to be working with him on a writing gig, would I be unhappy if he called me and said, can you come into my office because I want to go over a script with you? Yeah, I mean, there's a difference here. If nobody is going to set the parameters for punishments for redemption, then you're going to have the people that committed these crimes. They're going to be the ones who are going to set the parameters.
There you go. Just real quick, just some breaking news right now.
Oh,
out of Florida. Florida Republicans nominated Representative Ron DeSantis, who was sponsored by Donald Trump, and on the Democratic side, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, who was actually in second place in the polls leading up, will be the Democratic nominee, and if elected, would become the first African American governor in the state of Florida.
All righty.
So seeing if there's anything here, nothing yet in Arizona where people are running to replace Senator Jeff Flake.
What a flake.
I will say this, you know, he is I mean, he is unfortunately running from the Senate because he doesn't want to be involved in politics anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he is someone that I feel definitely learned from watching John McCain over the years and has the ability to work in a bipartisan manner at times. So it is a shame that he is leaving, and, you know, leaving people like that woman that's running for the Arizona Senate seat that blamed Kelly, John McCain, for dying and taking away her thunder.
You are talking surely of Dr. Kelly Ward, who is a conservative running in that race. And she responded to a post on Facebook by one of her campaign staff, who said that they felt that it was a coincidence that Senator McCain released his statement about stopping the treatment for brain cancer on the same day as the candidate Kelly Ward announced that she was going to be starting her bus tour of Arizona, and whether it was a plan to take media attention away from her campaign. To which Kelly Ward, the candidate, replied, "I think they wanted us to have a particular narrative that they hope is negative to me." So she's fucking crazy.
Yes, fuck herself. There's no question about it. So nothing, nothing yet. Obviously, there's still a few hours behind us. So right. I would imagine their polls are probably still open. So
Ron, yes. Arizona's centuries behind us, not a couple hours.
All right, Arizona's still stuck in 1959. I get it.
Thank you. Understand. Okay, got
all
it.
Right. Well, also, breaking news here on Ron and Brian.
Speaking of breaking news, Robin Leach is dead.
Is that breaking, though? I thought he died a few days ago.
Yeah, he died a couple days ago. But I did want to discuss the host of the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which I think if we go back in time was really the beginning of the end, because that was a show that was like no other show on TV, where it celebrated celebrity, it celebrated wealth, and it was all about how great it is to be wealthy and to live the life of a rich and famous person. So Robin Leach, you fucked up our world and you're dead. Speaking of celebrity deaths, I also want to mention Neil Simon, who was
91 years old,
a playwright from New York, fellow Jew. And I don't know why I'm harping on the Jew shit.
I don't know. You're really getting into it.
It's obviously the Moscow Mule. But Neil Simon passed away, the writer of such hits as Barefoot in the Park, The Odd Couple, Plaza Suite, The Sunshine Boys. I mean, this guy literally, he wrote Brighton Beach Memoirs, Biloxi Blues,
and he Broadway was also Bound. The only living playwright when he was living to have a Broadway theater named after him.
Really?
Really.
Apparently, you're more of a fan of the Jews than I thought I was. So let's hear it. For Neil Simon, you were great while you were here, and you're probably better off not here.
We need a breaking news sound bed, so I will work on that.
Thank you. Spend a little bit more than $5.
I was also working on a little drink of the week intro, but it is not quite yet up to our standard.
I think to me you should just take the theme from Cheers.
That might cost us more than $5.
Oh, they're not listening.
All right, sir. Anything else this week? I think we've done a good show. I'm happy about the show this week. Hopefully, those of you out there listening are as well.
Listen, I'm looking at well over an hour. So you know, this one flowed. I like it.
As always, follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. We'll have the polls up for make some suggestions for Drink of the Week. One of our suggestions, the Bee's Knees, was a listener suggestion. So please feel free to suggest. Email us at Ron and Brian podcast. No, wait, we have info at ronandbrian.com.
Ron
and Brian podcast.com. Forgot about the whole Ron Howard, Brian Glazer thing. Sorry.
Let me take over for a second.
Please do.
We have a website that is live. It is not a finished product, but it's something that we are proud of right now. It is if you open up your web browser and go to www.ronandbrianpodcast.com, you will see our website. Thank you, WordPress, for the assistance. You will also see that there is a page on that website, Contact Us, where you can send us a message. The email address you can send us right now, we've got two that we're going to, we have the Ron and Brian podcast at gmail.com, which is where you've all been sending your emails up to this date. We are going to start transferring the emails. We want people to start using info@ronandbrianpodcast.com. It goes directly to my phone. It goes to Ron's phone. So you send an email to info@ronandbrianpodcast.com and we get it within minutes.
There you go. And please, if you don't already, subscribe on iTunes. We love the downloads. We love when you listen on the Podbean website, but it's really those subscriptions that help move us up and help build the listenership. We love the listeners we have. We just want to have more of you. And we definitely want more of that feedback.
And if I can close this episode out, fuck Ron Howard, fuck Brian Grazier, because you and I are the only Ron and Brians that count.
I mean, there's really nothing else you can say after that point. So we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. As always, thank you for listening. Brian, sir, great as always to see you.
Love you.
Love you more.